feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Look, anybody who's followed the Kings knows that this year, when you know going into a game that they're going to win, they often find a way not to win. And when you think, oh, they don't have much of a chance tonight, they find a way to stun you. So I am very optimistic about the Kings' chances in Boston tonight. Does that make any sense? Let's find out. Joining us from San Francisco, where he's getting ready for his TV duties, Kyle Draper. Kings got this one, Drapes. Huh? Hello?
I hope so, man. I already have people from Boston texting me, where you at, Drapes? Let me pull out my phone and tell you exactly what somebody said. He said, who's broadcasting tonight's game for you guys? I said, it's Mark Jones in Boston. And so I went like more than my Sacramento Kings to shock the world, right? Like Muhammad Ali said back in the day, shock the world tonight against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, this is it's personal for you, isn't it? Just like it was personal the last time these two teams played. That one stung a little bit for you.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I'm still a little hurt over that. I mean, but Whitey, let's keep it real, man. I've said it earlier this week. This two-game stretch last night and tonight, I wasn't optimistic about. The way the New York Knicks play, they play a physical style of basketball. They junk it up on you, and that's exactly what happened last night. And then this Celtics matchup, even without Jaylen Brown, even without Derek White, this Celtics team, man, it's the style of play I just don't like. And they seem to have our number, having won, you know, the last five all by double digits. And so this is going to be a tough one, man. I would love, like I said, if our guys come out fired up. But as we saw last night, I'm not going to overreact to the first quarter. You know, it's a 48-minute game, and the Knicks proved that. The Knicks outplayed the Kings over the last three quarters. And so I know they, you know, were on fire from three-point range to start, but you got to play a full 48 minutes, man. And so I drove down to San Francisco today. You know, I crossed the Bay Bridge, and now the sun's out here and everything, because I was in a bad mood after last night. So I'm hoping it turns around today.
Yeah, so we know that last night the Kings, they led by 21, but they were outscored in the second half, 68-49. And I've seen and heard differing opinions on the game last night. It's a great point you made that, you know what, they were up 21 in the first half, but that's the NBA, you know, especially on the road. You hang on, that doesn't mean you're going to win. That doesn't guarantee anything, as Kings fans know too well. My question for you, Drapes, in your mind watching that game, the Kings had that big lead. Did they kick that one last night? Did the Kings blow one last night, or did the Knicks beat them? Because to me, the Knicks beat them.
I think the Knicks beat them, and I don't think there's anything, you know, that the Kings didn't do in that game. Mm-hmm. You know, missed shots maybe, you know, defensively. But that's what the Knicks do, man. They sort of muck it up and they make life hard. I mean, you got to get it from the mud when you play them. And so I give the Knicks a lot of credit, man. You know, I thought Tom Thibodeau did a great job. I thought Jalen Brunson did a phenomenal job giving up the rock, you know, not forcing it. Only took 20 shots. You know, our guy De'Aaron Fox took 26. Jalen Brunson took what the game gave it, you know. And I feel like, you know, and we'll talk about this in Drape's takes coming up in just a little bit, but I feel like the Knicks won this game, not with their physical play, but I think their basketball IQ last night was really high, and you got to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, I know Mike Brown, and again, I don't want to step on Drape's takes coming up in just a moment here. I know Mike Brown said, look, long story short, he said, you know, we doubled Brunson, we got him to give up the ball, and then he said, tip the cap to Josh Hart, who just destroyed the Kings last night. Little bit of good news, maybe. A glimmer of some good news. Apparently, Malik was talking to Chris Biederman from the B, and Malik indicated it's possible, and he didn't want to put any timeline on anything, but Malik says possible he could be back before this season is done. Of course, there's a lot involved in that. How long the Kings will be playing is one thing, how he's feeling. So that at least, I think, gives Kings fans and the team a little bit of hope going forward, Drapes.
Well, I mean, think about this, Whitey. We got 1 week left to go in the season, really. The Kings are on the verge of being a play-in team.
I know.
And so I understand that's exciting, Malik news, optimistic, but we got to get there first, right? Like, we got to get out of the play-in, got to force a seven-game series and hope maybe at the end Malik comes in with that. And so that's good news, but, man, these games and these losses are piling up, and it's not about, you know, it's the timeliness of these losses because everybody else is playing well, too. Phoenix has hit their stride. You know, New Orleans, sure, they've hiccuped a little bit, but Dallas has hit their stride. And so I know it's optimistic. Yeah, Malik might be coming back, but I'm not thinking about that right now. Whitey, I'm trying to get wins, big dog.
I'm just trying to find something positive because, as you say, tough one tonight, tough one last night. And look, here's the fact of the matter. If Boston wins tonight, which most expect them to, if Boston wins and then the Lakers win tomorrow and they play Cleveland, so that's far from a foregone conclusion. If that were to happen, the Kings would be in ninth. So forgive me, Drace, but I was just maybe I'm grasping at straws, trying to find something positive to cling to on this Friday. That's all.
Yeah, and before tomorrow, right? Like, I guess today is the last day that we could paint a rosy picture, if you will. But they may shock the world tonight. Yes. I don't know, but I'm not liking, you know, the schedule down the stretch, the way the Lakers are playing. Everything's too bunched up right now. It's making me nervous, man.
Yeah, so we got Drapes in San Francisco for his TV duties, and then the Kings and the Celtics this afternoon. Then, of course, that's why our show today is only going to be an hour long. And this is, you know, we look forward to Kings basketball, look forward to having game night on. But, Drapes, we've had so much to talk about the last 2 days, and we've been limited to the 1 hour. But, you know, everyone's still around here, still talking about the A's and what's going on with the A's move. And it's still a huge, obviously still a huge story. Are you hearing anything down there as far as the Oakland end of this story?
No, nothing much. You know, they played an early game today, a 10 o'clock game. They lost to the Tigers. And, you know, I'm watching, you know, some of the YouTube clips and some of the social media clips Dallas Braden yesterday during the game. And I'm just, you know, I'm heartfelt for him, man, because, you know, the way, you know, it's impacting this area, this region, this city. And we talked about it yesterday. On one hand, I'm excited. On the other hand, you know, these are people I work with every day here at NBC Sports California in Bay Area. And, you know, they're going to be affected. You know, I'm looking at, you know, Bip Roberts, who, you know, we had on last week as well, you know, an Oakland native and, you know, our guy High Flyer as well that we talked to. And, you know, and so many people are going to be affected by this. And, you know, I saw the A's, you know, put out a little release of all the promotions they're going to have this season to honor the ballpark and honor, you know, its time in Oakland. And it just feels empty right now, man. It just feels hollow.
David Sampson, I believe that's the name of the gentleman, a former major league executive. He was on with Dave and Jay Ross today, and he was involved in the whole Montreal Expos becoming the Washington Nationals thing, and he also was involved in the construction of the new park in Florida. So he knows about how these things work. He was saying that the way he sees it, it's possible that we end up with Oakland and Sacramento down the road competing for that West Coast franchise that that Vivek's talking about. So, you know, there's some bad blood right now. It could get even more intense. If David Sampson's right, Sacramento and Oakland will be among the cities competing for baseball's next expansion franchise.
Yeah, and I don't like that. You know, it's already, you know, some bad blood right now.
Yeah.
You know, and the wound is still, you know, very much fresh. And I could just imagine, you know, when you compete for a franchise like that, you know, the mudslinging and everything. I mean, it's engage in that. But I will say this. I find it incredibly difficult, incredibly hard to believe that Oakland would be considered. Unless, you know, Casey Pratt threw out a name like Joe Lacob, let's say. Joe Lacob wants to get involved in Major League Baseball. Like, they would have to build a new stadium also. Like, would they really go back to that. And so it could get ugly. It could get messy. But if I'm the city leaders of Sacramento, I'm planning now. I'm not waiting for 3 years from now, 4 years from now. It has to start right now. I'm lobbying behind the scenes. I'm getting a realistic gauge. I'm thinking about a ballpark expansion or a new ballpark. Like, I think, you know, if we wait a couple of years or see how it plays out, it will be too late. Because I guarantee you there's people here in the Bay Area where I'm at right now. They're plotting their next move. So we need to be plotting our next move.
Coming up today, among other things, we're going to get some clarification on what Vivek was talking about as far as a Major League Baseball timetable. We don't know what exactly he and the commissioner discussed, but we do know what Commissioner Manfred has said very recently about baseball and some kind of expansion timetable. So we'll get into that. And when we come right back, don't go away. Drape's Takes are next. You got the Drive Guys on a Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Friday at long last, thank you so much for being with us. We did have a few issues. Nobody's fault, but Drapes back with us from the Bay Area. Drapes, I think we can hear you loud and clear now. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, you got me okay?
How
does it sound? Am I good?
Gotcha. Yeah, good to go. Sorry about all that. I will get out of your way because I know Kyle is ready. Nate is ready. And it's time for Drape's Takes on Sacktown Sports.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Let me first off say, Sacramento Kings fans, I know we're hurting right now. I know we're down. I saw you guys out there on social media. I saw everybody upset, questioning the coach, Mike Brown, questioning the rotations, questioning the defense. Let me say this. Let me start off by saying this, Whitey. This was already going to be a tough matchup. This was always going to be a tough matchup. And if we want to talk about, yeah, we were up 21 and everything, but that was early in the game. We got to play four quarters, and that's what this team hasn't done. I'll start on a defensive end. You know, as much as I love Mike Brown and Jordy and those guys, I didn't think they mixed up the defense enough. I think they showed Jalen Brunson way too many of the similar looks, same look. And in the NBA, you don't think the Knicks were prepared for a trap? You don't think they were prepared for a blitz? And so to me, the blitz works when the players least expect it. They had a whole game to adjust and figure it out. And a good player that Jalen Brunson is, he welcomes that blitz. He doesn't try to beat it with himself. It's sort of like the Warriors with Draymond Green. Once you double and blitz Steph, you toss it to Draymond, and Draymond can spread around and get other people involved. I thought defensively, we gave way too much respect to Jalen Brunson, tried to take him out, but then we let Josh Hart go crazy. And so I felt like defensively, I wish we could have made more adjustments throughout the game and not just have a one-set defense and then let it rock for three or four quarters. By that time, it was too late, Whitey.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious. I know a lot of people have been talking about that. Stiles and Watkins were talking about that, and it was apparent. Just, you know, the eye test, you could see that, wow, that's not working, and they're going to try it again. The only thing I can think of, Drapes, and you know the way Coach thinks better than I do, but I think they just felt like, look, we'd rather have Josh Hart try to beat us than Brunson, and they just kept sticking with that, and Hart just kept making him pay for it. Other than that, I don't know why they didn't mix things up a little more.
Yeah, and I think they just were reacting to what we saw last time the Knicks came to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And Brunson just crushed us. And so they were hell-bent. All right, Brunson's not going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Well, Brunson was the guy, and then so was Josh Hart. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that brings me to my second point, Whitey, and I've been saying this for weeks now. If our star players aren't one of the top two best players on the floor, we're not going to win. Who were the best players on the floor last night?
The two guys we
Brunson
just mentioned.
And
yeah.
Josh Hart.
Yeah. Not even close. Not even close.
Not even close. And so De'Aaron Fox and Domas, we just need more. We need more from these guys, especially with no Malik Monk. We need more to win. And I thought De'Aaron Fox was great for the first three quarters.
But he had 5 points in the fourth. That's supposed to be his money time. And so we need our stars to play at a higher level. Everybody's going to wake up and say, where's Harrison Barnes? Oh, we need more from him. Yes, we do. But HB only played 14 minutes and change. Let's not blame this loss on HB. This loss was on a couple of things. Our inability to stop the Knicks. And I believe our stars just have to be better. Because if you're counting on your fourth, fifth, sixth guy to deliver for you every single night, you're not going to be a great team. There's a reason why the Celtics are the Celtics, because Tatum and Brown bring it every single night. And then the other guys, some nights it's Drew Holiday, some nights it's Sam Hauser, some nights it's Al Horford, you know. But every single night, Tatum and Brown are bringing it. Same thing with Denver. Every single night, Jokic is bringing it. That's how our guys have to be. I don't want to look at no darn box score and see a double-double or see a 29-7-7. I need some impactful play from our stars, especially down the stretch, White.
Yeah, Drapes, I thought last night was a good example of what we were talking about earlier this week in terms of Domas and De'Aaron needing not just to put up numbers, like you just said, but they need to have an impact on the game. Domas last night, you look at his numbers, they were solid, rock solid. But the Kings needed more than that. And as you say, De'Aaron, the numbers great, but in that fourth quarter, that's when they needed him. And I thought both of them, frankly, just they turned the ball over too much last night. I know they're both handling the ball a lot, but I thought that was one of the Kings' biggest problems last night, and they were two of the guiltier parties.
Yeah, they each finished with four turnovers last night. And it brings me to my last Drapes take. And I've said it from day one of this season. We don't have enough shot creators. Give the Knicks credit. I thought they locked up the offense in the fourth quarter. Some people will say, well, we missed a lot of open shots. Well, the problem is, by the time we did get open shots, we were rushing by then. We were shocked. Oh, man, we got to get it up. We were already being pressed. And so I thought the Knicks did a fantastic job mucking up our offense and making it difficult, making us have to really watch, you know, go through the mud and walk through the mud instead of a crisp, clean offensive game. And so I feel like when you look at a 32% from the field in the fourth, 22 points in the fourth, I don't care who you play. That's not going to get it done. And so I think the Kings offensively, as we go into the offseason, and if I'm Monty McNair, I'm looking for more shot creators. And that's where I think we missed Malik Monk a lot last night. It's not the playmaking. I think it's in the biggest of moments down the stretch. You got another guy that can handle the ball and create his own shot. I think we're missing that right now.
Yeah, Drapes, I'm with you. Watching the game last night, I just had a sense in that second half that, and it's not the first time I've had this sense, that the Kings are, they're missing something. And then, you know, obviously you think, well, Malik's not there. And as you say, yeah, they miss him a lot. But I felt like, yeah, but that's not it. I feel like they need exactly what you're talking about. They need a wing who can put pressure on the basket. They need, it seems like every other team has them coming out of their ears. You know, and I know the Kings were looking for a 3/4, that type of player, and they didn't find him at the deadline. But to me, that's what the Kings really need is that dynamic guy who's a wing who when you need a bucket, you can go to. And they just really missed that type of player last night.
Yeah, they did. They do. And when you look at all the contenders in the association, they got a couple of those guys. You know, Denver, no, I'm going to throw Denver in there too, because Jokic and Jamal Murray are elite at creating their own shot, elite shot makers. You look, the team we're going to face tonight, they got multiple guys. And so, no, man, I'm with you. We need bucket getters, shot creators that when the system, and we heard Harrison Barnes talk about it, oh, we got to rely on the system even more now and everything like that. I don't like that. I think you can rely on the system for about three quarters, but when it comes down to the nitty gritty, you got to make plays. And I thought the Knicks made plays last night. That's Drapes Takes brought to you by Ausco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Ausco Uniforms. I'm frustrated, man. We could have had that one and give the Knicks a lot of credit, man. They whatever happened in the first quarter, they fixed it, right?
Yep.
Like, the Kings came out on fire, knock his shots down, and then the Knicks, as soon as they turned up the intensity, it just became difficult for our team to score.
Yeah, you know, Drapes, what you were just saying about the system, It reminds me of what people say all the time about a plan. Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. You know, yeah. Everybody has a plan. Everybody has a system until you play a team like the Knicks and they totally disrupt your system. Then what do you got? And right now the Kings don't have that extra gear. And I thought, and I know Mike Brown talked about this after the game, I thought their transition defense was like embarrassing at times, but a lot of that is because they just turn the ball over. They still have those moments where, you know, someone throws a pass and you see them kind of looking at each other and like pointing, you know, that's some Harry High School stuff. And it happens too often with this team. And it was one of the keys last night. That's when that game started tipping back the Knicks' way, when the Kings started just giving up opportunities. The possession game is so important to them right now. They turn the ball over. You're just, it's like you're playing, I don't know, poker or something with somebody, and you just keep giving them extra turns. You can't win that way.
You can't win turning it over 16 times and then giving up 26 points on those turnovers. I mean, it's just, that's easy money for the New York Knicks. Let me ask you this, though, as we, you know, I'm diving into the box score. Occasionally I do that.
Wow, special occasion, because that's not your forte.
That's not my forte. Did you have an issue with the way it was officiated? I'm just looking at the box score, because as I'm watching the game, I didn't think it was any problem with the way it was officiated. But they took 29 free throws. We took 12. Is that an issue? Is that an official thing, or is that something because we were jacking up threes and took 42 threes, we're not going to get the benefit of the call on that?
I had the same reaction you did, honestly, you know, watching the game. Obviously, there's a call here or there where you go, I don't know, but I didn't feel watching it like it was really unfair. I do know this, this offense, when the Warriors used to run it, when Mike Brown was there, they would run into the same thing. They would foul the other team a lot, and they wouldn't go to the line. And I do think there's a big part of that is just, you know, you're relying on as many threes. Of course, you're just not going to get to the basket as much. And Mike Brown, after the game, said, you know what he said, Drapes? He said, we should have taken more threes. He said, a game like that, we should have taken more than 50. So he can't have it both ways. He said, I don't know why they got so many free throws. Then he said, we should have taken more threes. I think you're right. As long as you're that reliant on the three, I think there are going to be a lot of games like that where the other team's spending more time at the line.
No, you're right, and you can't argue that. I mean, if you're not being aggressive, you know, I'm looking at points in the paint. Mm. The Kings had 40, the Knicks had 60, but the Knicks took 45 shots in the paint.
Yep.
The Kings only 30 shots in the paint. And so if you're not getting to the paint, it's going to be hard to get those foul calls. And so give the Knicks a lot of credit, man. They made Josh Hart. As I was watching this, I'm like, they making Josh Hart look like prime D Wade out there.
Yes.
The way he was playing. Like he was getting to the basket. What, he had 26 points in the paint or something like that, something crazy like that. I mean, the guy didn't take a single 3-pointer. You know, and I go back to what we talked about, the blitzing and the trapping and everything like that. The NBA, these guys are too good to just throw the same looks at them. You know, trust me, Jalen Brunson has seen every defense imaginable thrown at him. And I felt like, you know, maybe the Kings could have went a little more zone, you know, run some zone out there. Because, like I said, I feel like they overreacted to that game last month in Sacramento when Brunson torched them for 40-something points. And I thought they were hell-bent on, you know, stopping Brunson, but they didn't even do a good job of that. It's like you got to take away one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Either Brunson's going to beat you by himself or others are going to beat you. They let both. They let Brunson and Josh Hart get going. Dante DiVincenzo scoring 21. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Mike Brown said after the game, well, sometimes a team like that, it's pick your poison. But the Kings picked all the poison. It's like, we'll take that poison and that poison. Amadrock on the chat says, yeah, the free throw disparity was bad. And then when they did get free throws, they missed them, which is another good point. And, you know, as far as Josh Hart goes, I haven't seen it yet. You know the shot chart where you have a little diagram of the half court? There's a dot wherever a guy makes a shot from or attempts one. With him, I'll bet you, Josh Hart last night, just one big blob right at the bottom of the circle, right? Because it seemed like every time he got the ball, he drove right there and scored.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, nobody laid any wood on him. Nobody took a hard foul.
Touch him up.
Touch him up, especially in that fourth quarter. It looked like he had about five or six layups in a row. Like, we could not get a stop in that. And I was like, my God, fellas, get a freaking stop, one of you. And it's just, the guys look shell-shocked out there. And like I said, give the Knicks a lot of credit. They were super physical. They muddied up the offense. And, you know, it's just a bad matchup. I said it a couple of months ago. There are certain teams that are bad matchups for us. And we'll see a team tonight in the Celtics. Fortunately, no Jaylen Brown, but still, just their style of play. The thing about the Celtics, the way the Knicks are so aggressive defensively, I feel like the Celtics are that way offensively. They put so much pressure on you offensively. And so I'm worried about this game tonight.
Meanwhile, we'll tell you what Rob Manfred actually said about MLB expansion and how it could relate to this whole A's and Sacramento deal when we come back. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
What do you make of this, Drapes, on the chat? Compio, your buddy Compio, weighing in with this. When will we see Len and Sabonis on the court at the same time, especially when Barnes isn't producing on the court? I know you've never been a big fan of that, Drapes.
Yeah, sorry about that, Whitey. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Zero chance of that happening, man.
Zero.
I mean, yeah, zero. Because here's the thing. What are we saying about Harrison Barnes not contributing? He's not what? Scoring the basketball.
Right, right.
Are we actually going to put Alex Len and think that's going to be an improvement scoring the basketball? Like, Compio, who, you know, saw Wilt's first game, got to know basketball better than that. You know what I mean? Like, come on, Compio. You know, Mike Brown went double big like once, and that was against the Milwaukee Bucks, and he did it both games. That's because you got Giannis and the Lopez brother. I mean, you got 2 7-footers. Most teams don't have that. And then you look at a game like, you know, last night, who's Alex Len and or Sabonis going to guard?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Knicks are a small team. It's not like they got 2 7-footers out there. You know, you look at the Knicks, who's he going to guard? Isaiah Hartenstein and Dante DiVincenzo? Isaiah Hartenstein and Josh Hart? Isaiah Hartenstein and Miles McBride? No. So it doesn't make sense, man. It doesn't make sense.
Well, you know how fans are, and I don't know if this is why Compio went there, but I see things on social media and the chat and the text line about how Alex Len last night, hey, he was a +9. So people think, well, if he's +9, that's good to have him out there. But as you say, especially when you have Keon starting and he's not an offensive player. He's giving you a little spark there, but he's not an offensive mm-hmm. player. You have to have your spark, your offense coming from somebody out there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you think about this, and we saw it against the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, Kyrie and Luka basically playing HB and Keon Ellis. Like, if you take out HB, who has played extremely well at times this season, it's not like he's a net zero. He just had a bad game. That's why I only played 14 minutes and change. But if you throw in Alex Len, you know, you talk about a lack of three-point shooting. Now you're asking, you know, who's your three-point shooters out there? Fox mm-hmm. and Keegan Murray, and then that's it. And I know Keon can knock it down, but he's not a dead-eye shooter per se. Percentages are looking good. It just doesn't make sense, man. You know, I look at last night's game, Whitey, and we could talk about Harrison Barnes all people want. 0 points. 0-for-2, not going to get it done, 14. But the supporting cast was not the problem last night. It's the stars.
Yes.
Their stars outplayed our stars. Not even their stars. Their second option, Josh Hart, outplayed our stars. That's what this game boils down to, I think, last night.
Yeah, the bench, they shot the ball really well also.
Right.
By the way, all guests and callers come to you via the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. So let's go to the phones and let's talk to Scott. Scott, you're on with the Drive Guys. Hello, sport. What's up, Scott?
Hey, well, I'd like to say right away that, you know, Monty McNair should be held accountable for signing Harrison Barnes to 3 years at like $18 million a year. I mean, I don't think any other team in the league would have given Harrison Barnes more than $5 million a year. And, you know, Monty McNair panicked because he couldn't get Kuzma. And so at that point, he said, oh, well, I'll just throw a ton of money at Harrison Barnes because I want to at least bring the same team back that made the playoffs last year. Now, if Ronadive is happy with that, that's his money. If he's happy with just blowing his money like that, then fine. But as an owner, I would hold my general managers accountable for bad signings. And the reason you can't trade Harrison Barnes is because of a bad contract.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. Drapes, you want to respond to that?
It's just ridiculous. You know, first of all, Harrison Barnes has been pretty good this year. You can't just call up about Harrison Barnes after he has a bad game. I didn't hear you when he had back-to-back 20-plus point games. And so, you know, I'm not going to stand for the Harrison Barnes slanders today because people are doing it after waking up and looking at a box score and looking at a box score last night. It's not about that. The last night wasn't about Harrison Barnes. Now, if you want to upgrade the position, go for it. Tell me who you're going to go out there and get. Tell me who you going to get, Kevin Durant? Who you going to get, LeBron James? Who you going to get, Kyle Kuzma? You know, the Kings tried to do things, and it didn't happen. And I will say this about Harrison Barnes, you know, a great guy. We had Doug Christie on a while ago talking about this. HB is playing out of position, first of all. Second of all, and I mentioned this before, he's your fourth, fifth option. You know, I keep telling you guys, if we're looking for Harrison Barnes to be the difference between winning or losing, something's wrong. The difference between winning or losing is your stars got to play like stars, and then on any given night, somebody will step up. One night it's DiVincenzo. One night it's Josh Hart. One night it's McBride. One night it's Hartenstein. So, and it sounds like the fan base, why do you want Harrison Barnes to be a 20-point-per-game scorer every single night? And that's just not how it works in the NBA.
Yeah, Scott, I understand your frustration. I mean, we all do. And a lot of people have been unhappy with Harrison Barnes' inconsistency. Where I would really quibble with you, maybe even stronger than quibble, or quibble with a capital Q. I mean, it wasn't a matter of, well, we can't get Kyle Kuzma, so what are we going to do? Oh, Harrison Barnes. It was not a panic move. He was the best option when the other options they were not able to sign. I don't know about you, Drapes. I don't think the Kings really were after Kuzma. There's been a lot of reporting that they were after him a few years ago, but I think it was Sam Amick said the Kings cooled on Kuzma quite a while ago. And I don't know that Kuzma would have been that much better because he would need the ball so much. That's another thing with HB that I don't think people appreciate. So yeah, he's been up and down this year and the team has been up and down. So it's maddening, but I don't think it was a desperate signing. And I don't think, when all is said and done about Monty McNair, I don't think the re-signing of Harrison Barnes is going to be ultimately something that is going to make him or break him. I think all things considered, it was the smartest move of the moves that were available to him.
Yeah, and if I'm correct, let's remember, Harrison Barnes was an early signing, if I'm correct. I think they agreed with HB before it even, you know, opened up, the free agency window to negotiate with other teams, other players. And so HB was going to be a part of this. And at $18 million a year, that's not an awful contract. I don't know what people are saying. Not right. In today's NBA, when guys are getting close to $60 million a year, you know, that is, you know, let's call it what it is, a very movable contract. If you did want to make a trade, nobody's going to be like, oh, man, I can't pay this dude $18 million. That's going to break me or anything like that. And so I disagree with the caller there. HB, yes. Did he need to be better yesterday? Yes. But I can point down the line, when Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart are the two best players on the court, you're not going to win, Sacramento. I'll tell you that. You're just not going to win.
All right. We only have a little bit of show left there, so please be patient. We got the calls lining up. We'll get to as many as we can at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Drapes, you're never going to guess who just popped in and put the headset on.
Oh, this guy's back again? Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we will hear as well from the High Flyer as we head down the home stretch here. Truncated edition of the Drive Guys on this Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys, powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
I get it. You know, we got Nate running the show today, and yesterday had kind of a rough day, and Drapes gave him a C-plus for his performance, which was probably a little generous. So, you know, he's been struggling with some things today, not within his control. So now he plays Boston because the Kings are playing Boston, right? Yeah, that might help his grade. Whitey Gleason, we got Drape standing by in San Francisco. He's got TV duty, and we got the High Flyer standing by.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Hot Flyer? What's going on, man?
Big Perm, what's happening, baby?
Hey, right, man, I'm pissed off about last night, man. What did you see, High Flyer? Because here's the thing, man. I spent the last 45 minutes talking about it. We can't let Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart outplay De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and expect to win. That's what I think it boils down. What do you think, man?
This is what I saw, Drapes. I thought the first half, the Kings executed and they did what they had to do to get that lead. They pushed the ball. They played fast. They moved the ball. Everything looked good. They double-teamed JB, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, we're going to let someone else beat us.
And that's what happened.
Right? Hart was the guy. He started getting it going. And the problem with that is, once he started getting it going, now he's hitting every shot he throws up. He was getting to the basket and scoring. But what the Kings did in that third quarter, when New York shifted their style of play, Kings didn't shift their style of play. All the threes went. All the threes dropped in the first half. It was great. It was beautiful. We were up 21. Third quarter, those shots didn't fall. And I counted. We shot 11 shots in a row, missed all 11. We only shot two. Sabonis got a tip, and he went down and scored off of a low post move. The other nine in a row were missed three-pointers. The Kings live and die by the three.
After the game, you may have heard this, Coach Brown said, we should have taken more three-pointers. That's what he said. He said, we had more there that we didn't take. We needed to take about 50 last night.
You know what? I would agree with that if they was knocking them down. But you could have took 50 and still didn't make one. Mm-hmm. They took 11 at that particular point. They took 11 shots and didn't knock down one. So you could have took 35. If you still did knock down one, it didn't make a difference.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Will has been hanging on. Will, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
What's up, y'all? What's up, High Flyer? What's up, Drapes? Hey, look, man, I know you're going to apologize for HB, but I'm going to say it anyway. HB done had too many of these type of games during the season. I mean, we can make excuses for a few games, but there have been many games where HB had 1 point, two rebounds the whole game. And then here, look, when they was trapping Brunson early on in the first half and they was making him get rid of the ball, they should have kept doing that. Okay, let Hart get his 30, but you can't let Brunson get 35 damn near in the second half. You know, it was just – And then they too soft, man. They don't foul anybody hard. I mean, Hart going through the lane, 6'4", going through the lane, making layups on Domas. You know, that was ridiculous, man. And then Jason, you were dogging the Clippers the other day when the Kings beat them. And I was happy. I told you, man, don't be doing that. Look, see, they went to Denver and got the win. Look, it's winning time. It's winning time. You see the Warriors, the Lakers, Dallas, I mean, you know, the Clippers, the Kings just don't have that killer instinct and that dog in them, man. That's just all it is. And Brown, I don't know. What was he doing with his timeouts in the second half? He let them catch up, take the lead, then he called a timeout. I don't understand.
Thank you, Will. Can I let you go just because we, appreciate it. We don't have a ton of time left there. But they were trapping Brunson in the fourth quarter, too.
They still was trapping.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Yeah, you trap Brunson, but Harton already opened up the floodgates because he got to the rack three times in a row and scored, right? And I'm cool with still take the ball out of JB's hands because he's a killer. But what happened is that once Hart got going, then he started hitting mid-range jump shots. He started posting up and hitting fadeaway shots. You know, he has it going. You can't let – yes, you want to trap JB, but you also want to keep other guys in check. You just can't open the door for all those other guys to start knocking down shots.
Mm-hmm. But
here's the thing, too, real quick, Whitey, regarding that. You know, and they said it during the broadcast. This was the first half. And Brunson was still getting buckets. He was getting to the free throw line. So the trap wasn't even working, and the blitz wasn't even working in the first half, especially the second quarter. What did Brunson have at halftime? Like 18 points, something like that. And so it wasn't even working in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go to TC real quick here. TC, don't have a lot of time left, but you got the floor here. Drive Guys, what's up?
Man, first and foremost, man, Whitey Drapes, high flyer in the back, what's going on?
What's happening?
Yo.
Happy Friday. Hey, man.
Happy Friday, man. Check it out. So, listen, just like you said, High Flyer, look, check it out. You live and die by the three. To me, as a Kings fan, a diehard, bro, it's cool when it's on, but I don't like it. Everybody's like, this is the way the team has. No, it's not. If it's not falling, bro, do something else. Just like you said, Whitey, when it was talking about the Warriors and Draymond and they couldn't get to the foul. Switch it up, Mike. Like, don't wait so long to call a timeout, but switch it up. I'm cool on this whole, let's put up 63s. No, bro. If we put up 20 and it's not our night, bro, switch it up. Pick and roll. Get downhill. I don't want to hear about no foul calls. This has nothing to do with foul calls. You know why we don't get foul calls? Because we cry about it and we don't try to get foul calls. The refs are not going to give the Kings foul calls, bro, if you're not driving in the lane trying to cause fouls and De'Aaron crying every 2 seconds. No, bro.
Gotcha. Thank you, TC. Appreciate that. Drapes, before we go, I know you got to pregame coming up, postgame. Any closing thoughts for us?
Nah, man. Just trying to enjoy this game as much as possible, and we'll be back on Monday. This is going to be a tough one tonight. But like I said, Whitey, I knew this stretch would be tough. We just need to get through this and handle our business after tonight, and we'll be fine.
All right. High Flyer.
B-minus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nate wants to know what his grade is from you today, Drapes.
I'm going to give him a B-minus today. Yeah. The link to was kind of late. It was kind of late. And so we could have worked out our technical difficulties maybe earlier if Nate would have sent the link a little earlier. That's all I'm saying.
Again, I think that's very generous. Thank you very much. Stick around for the High Flyers. Scott Marsh, game night next on Sacktown Sports.